percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Hi there, Wendy's Coffee House. Thank you for joining me. It's that time, holiday gift giving, all sorts of stuff going on. I've got a great guest. I happen to see the book, the preview for this, Physician's Untold Stories by Scott Kolbaba, and he's an internist in private practice in Wheaton, Illinois. The stories are about, you know, when you have something incredible happen, and it might be kind of, some people may not believe it, some people might be not comfortable talking about this in public, and when it happens to a doctor and he's worried about his credibility, he or she, then they may be less inclined to share the stories. Well, that's what Dr. Kolbaba did. He'd had his own experiences, and this stuff is not a secret. There are so many stories about life after death, near death, unexplainable, like angelic interventions, that kind of stuff. But he collected 26 stories to share, talking about things that are pretty incredible, and physicians have shared their stories with him, and he's put in some of his own. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. If you want to check it out while we're talking, you can check out the website, physiciansuntoldstories.com. He's also got a Facebook page. In the meantime, though, just getting back into the stuff that's been happening, I love the weird, the unusual, the unexplained. Nessie sightings, we're going to top that off. Nessie sightings are on the rise. And guess what? An American tourist, lucky number 9th sighting. Loch Ness monster poking out of the water. There it was. She was on the Nessie webcam and just looking at somehow, I've got a little thing here, the picture of it. It's kind of course, it's kind of fuzzy. But they say, yes, this looks like there's something there. The waves are kind of an odd movement. So she said she saw a wake, and the guy who keeps all the track of all this, Gary Campbell, the recorder, and the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register guy, says that it doesn't look like it's a boat. There's no other traffic out there. So, yeah, it's legit. There's also a sheep there. So I thought I'd check out, see, while we're talking, to see if I could find Nessie on the net. lochness.co.uk. And it's kind of foggy. This is a live stream. Oh, there's a sheep over in the corner. I think it's white. And it's moving. This is live. Okay. All right. So that's all. I'm just seeing a sheep. And it's a lovely day. It's just kind of gray and overcast. And the water looks to be very smooth. Can't see any waves. Not going to blow it up. Anyway, so there we go. And also on the sighting, if you want to hear what Nessie sounds like. Okay. I don't know what that was. Okay, maybe the sound of the water lapping beside Nessie as she cruises through Loch Ness. It's a lot of fun, okay? So if you have nothing else to do during your lunch hour and want to see if you can, you know, catch a glimpse, then you can go on the live stream of the Loch Ness Monster. Already we've had the 9th sighting this year. We went through a while where there were no sightings at all. So there, anything's possible. There are also some other things in terms of unusual and strange. Somebody finally made a movie about the ghost of a dead dog planning a wedding. And I like the Slate writer because the Slate writer says, well, we've had other movies about dogs. They get made all the time. And we've had movies about ghosts. Those, you know, like Ghostbusters. And then we have ghost dog movies. And then we have wedding planning movies. But this is the first time someone has combined all the elements. The ghost, the dog, the wedding planning. And so if you want to hear, this is the preview for Best Friend from Heaven.
Gabe? Come here, baby. Want to get married today? Me too.
Walking on a cloud and listening to harps.
Oh, no.
I need you to help me fix something, and I have to get back. You can't get married without this.
Meet your new employees.
What can we do to help? Let's turn this place into a reception.
Do you know who the voice is of the dog? Gabriel the dog? That's Kris Kristofferson. I was shocked. I'm like, whoa, I would have guessed that. The comments, is this a documentary? Okay. So anyway, the comments are kind of fun. So it's a very, very nice family film. Best Friend from Heaven. Star Wars. Have you played that, the Jedi Challenge? Have you done the lightsaber augmented reality thing yet? Star Wars Jedi challenges, lightsabers are the hot thing, and we've got a website where you can actually go watch people playing with their toys, augmented.reality.news, and they've got little videos of each person. What I think is really cool, though, is the next one, Pokemon Go, the creator has confirmed the Harry Potter augmented reality game. Yeah, okay. And Snopes had poo-pooed this earlier and said, no, that's just a rumor, and the really mean rumor. But no, they're going to have the new game, augmented reality app, supposed to be out in 2018. You're going to learn spells, explore your real-world neighborhoods and cities to discover and fight legendary beasts, and team up with others to take down powerful enemies. Yes, that's the beauty of augmented reality. You can win, and nobody gets hurt. Maybe the furniture. So, okay, that's happening. I forgot. I've got that ghost story. Okay, so you had the ghost story earlier, right? This is a job opening. Bartender. Criteria. Must be okay with working alone at night amid taxidermy, bear, and caribou. Okay, that would be kind of... And then a ghost named Albert Johnson, who's just posted on Newser. Location. If you go look at the Canadian map, right next to the dotted line noting the Arctic Circle, you'll find it. Eagle Plains Hotel and Service Station. A very, very lonely spot up there. And obviously the ghost has found a place to hang out. And if you're not comfortable with that, you'll leave very quickly. It's like Weston. They have ghosts. And they ask, that's one of the things, if you're going to work at the Main Street Galleria, are you comfortable working with ghosts? This is not a joke. Because when it taps you on the shoulder and there's nobody there, it's a bit like, whoa. And recently they had a tourist who'd gone to Atchison with a ghost hunting tour up there with her friends. And they said, no, you know, there are no ghosts. And of course, believing it, it's all a bunch of... hooey. And so she gets upstairs. This woman passes her in the hall. She feels her walk by, looks at her, sees her, and turns around. There's nobody there. She goes downstairs because she said, well, okay, maybe that was just a fluke and I'm kind of uncomfortable. And somebody pulls her hair. And of course, there's nobody there either. At that point, she leaves. Her friends come in with their cameras and trying to catch a ghost or hear a ghost or something. That's not going to happen. In the meantime, though, it's so fun when somebody doesn't believe and then something happens and they still don't believe. They just decide to vacate. That's what's happening here. Speaking of believing and things that are maybe not possible, Acoustic Kitty, that's the name of the program the CIA used to try to train cats to be spies. I found this on Uri Geller's website. I was just playing around with that slider, SLI, street lamp, and that people who interact with street lamps. Anyway, I've just stumbled on this one. And they said that they tried to figure out how to get them motivated to be spies. But they weren't really cool. They didn't care. They kind of were indifferent, and you know. And then when they got hungry, they just walked off the job. Yes, that's my cat. Exactly. I'm not interested. Is there a treat for me? Well, the dog's like that too. But anyway, they were completely, totally not having any of it. If you want to find out the links, I put these on wendyscoffeehouse.com. Okay, and the links for Dr. Skolbaba's book, The Physician's Untold Stories. I've got that up there too. But that way you can, if there's anything you hear that you're interested in, follow along. I've got the stuff for all the sci-fi films. I do those usually on Friday. Most of the time there'll be one for a short sci-fi film. And there's some very high quality films. And I love it because they're just like little potato chips. You can do one at a time or you can do the whole bag and have fun. In the meantime, Dr. Skolbaba has some great stories. And these are true. They've happened. And he's had some of them that he has himself experienced. And it's just worth sharing this time of year to know that there's something else out there that may have our back, may have our best interest at heart. Even if we can't see it, it's there. Up next, Dr. Scott Skolbaba on Wendy's Coffeehouse, KCMO Talk Radio. Hi there, and thanks for listening to Wendy's Coffeehouse. Really, some of the things that you hear from doctors now, like when we talked to Eben Alexander about his after-death experience, the return and all of the stuff that he was able to do because he's a doctor and he had access to the fantastic equipment that could actually tell you and show you when he flatlined and what happened during the entire time. The benefit of hearing from doctors these stories, I think, is fantastic. So when I got the book, Physicians Untold Stories, by Dr. Scott Skolbaba, I was thrilled because he has, on his own, collected 26 doctors' stories of what happens basically in that moment when anything is possible, when somebody may or may not cross over, the stuff that we don't get to see as a general public that happens in the doctor's office, and sometimes they don't talk about it. But because Dr. Skolbaba is a doctor, they had a little, I think, less hesitancy of sharing something so private and personal and sometimes a bit unexpected, especially from your doctor, with somebody who was also a professional and could say, hey, look, we've all been there. Are you interested in telling your story? Thank you, Dr. Kulbaba.
Thanks, Wendy. It's great to be here.
Now, the stories, these are the miracles, basically. That's why you say discover the miracles in your life. Okay. I think the fact that you became a doctor in the first place kind of seems like that. From the introduction, you say, when the guy says, sorry, this isn't going to work for you.
Well, you know, that happened, and it's really a true story, because in college, I was an economics major, and so I was interested in medicine initially, and then I changed my mind, and my grades weren't sterling, and so to get back into medicine and get back into medical school was a real challenge. And when I interviewed with one of the prominent deans in Chicago Medical School, I was very excited about interviewing with him, because he's one of the most powerful deans in the city of Chicago. And at the end of the interview, he surprised me by saying, "Mr. Kulbaba, you just don't have what it takes to become a doctor. Just give up your ideal here and go on with a regular job." And that shocked me. He was right. My grades weren't wonderful. My MCAT scores, because I didn't have the prerequisites, weren't very good. But I went back, and his warning to me served as an incentive, and that really made me a great student, and I studied like crazy and was eventually able to get good grades or get good scores on the MCAT. I got some good grades on the subjects I needed to take as prerequisites, and I finally got into medical school. So that, you're right, it was a miracle for me to get in.
Well, you call it like a divine coincidence. You mentioned that in the book. Some of these things, just amazingly, the people in the right place at the right time. I think there's a story where a doctor is going home, he misses a turnoff and misses it again, and then all of a sudden he ends up at the doctor at the hospital where he's usually just only there infrequently, and the surgical equipment he needs isn't usually there. They don't have that stuff. Will you tell that story?
Sure. That was Dr. Mendenhall, who's a friend of mine who is an orthopedic surgeon, and he is a great orthopedic surgeon. And the interesting thing, there's a whole series of coincidences here with his life. He had a rough time. I think he ended up with a divorce, and there were some things in his life that were really, really rough. And he was sitting in his desk in his office thinking, he didn't tell me this, but I think he was saying to himself, is this really worth it? You know, is my life really, you know, worth something? And it so happened, as a coincidence, that morning, one of the people that he was not really very close to, a distant friend, dropped off anonymously, but they found out later who it was, dropped off a plaque with his genealogy on it and all the relatives and ancestors that he had, and there was a birthstone for each of them on this beautifully gold-leafed plaque. And he dropped it off anonymously, and when the nurses brought that in to Dr. Mendenhall, he just was so choked up and realized that all these people that had gone ahead of him were counting on him. And so he decided that he would overcome his problems and get on with his life and do the best he could, and he did, and he excelled, and that changed his life. Well, a couple years later, he was on call all week. He had been really tired, and it was a Saturday, so he was ready to go home and sign out to his partners, and so he did in the hospital, signed out to a colleague and shut off his pager, got in his car. He wanted to get a soda at the doctor's lounge, but he missed it. He forgot to do that, so he decided to stop at a local gas station and pick up a pop there. Well, he drove by the local gas station for some reason while he was thinking about his patients in the hospital, and then he thought, well, I'll just go off. When I turn off to go home, there's a little place I can stop there. And he missed the turnoff to home, and he had never done that before. And so he decided that the next turnoff on the expressway was a hospital that he had privileges on but never operated, because they never had the equipment that he needed. So he decided to take that turnoff and got to the hospital, and he normally would park in the doctor's lounge, the doctor's area, which isn't behind the hospital, but for some reason that day he decided to park in the very front of the hospital and go in the front door. As he walked in the door, who is running up to him but the daughter of the person that dropped off that gold leaf plaque to him a number of years before. And she raced up to him and gave him a hug and said, "Thank you for coming. I didn't think you'd get the message, but thank goodness you did." And he looked at her and said, "What message?" Because he was off call. He didn't have his pager on. His wife didn't know where he was. And he didn't have a cell phone at that time. And so he said, "Well, what can I do for you?" And she said, "Well, my daughter just fell off a zip line, and she broke both forearms, both bones in both forearms, radius and ulnar, the two bones in the forearm. She broke both of those in both arms, and she wants to play concert piano, and she'll need her arms and her hands to play, and they're totally functionalist right now, and she needs someone who has the expertise to fix that so that she can be a concert pianist, which is her goal." Mm-hmm. And so he thought, "Oh, my gosh, I'm so tired. I've been up all night, And how can I ever do this? And besides, this hospital doesn't have any of the equipment that I normally would need for a complex case like this. Well, who walks up to him just as a coincidence with a head nurse, and she says, Dr. Mendenhall, it's great to see you. We wanted to encourage you to come to this hospital more, and doctors like you because you're so good. So we ordered all the equipment that you like, the fancy tools and the screws and the plates and so forth, and they just came in this morning.
Uh-huh.
So he thought, oh, my goodness, what a, you know. By this point, he realized that this was beyond him. He just wanted to hold on and just go with the flow, and whatever he had to do, he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to the ER, looked at the girl, and realized that she had terribly deformed arms because of both breaks. So he decided to take her out and take her to surgery, and he did. And he actually said he finished the case about 2 hours before he would expect to. It went so incredibly well. The bones seemed to fall into place. He had all the right equipment and tools to fix her arms, and the family knew that he would finish early, even though he told them it would be like a 4 or 5 hour case. And when he walked out of the operating room to tell them that he had fixed her arms, they knew that he would finish early, and the person that had dropped off the plaque was there then too, the father or the mother. And they hugged each other and made connections, and that's one of the reasons he decided to take the case on, because of that he had saved his life, that the person that dropped off the plaque had saved Dr. Mendenhall's life, essentially, that number of years ago. And so they were very thrilled, and they hoped that the granddaughter of this fellow would ultimately be able to play the piano again. Well, she took a long time to rehab. It took about a year and a half to do rehab. And then Dr. Mendenhall was pleased with a postcard that he got a year later that said, announcing the concert of the daughter that had injured her arms. She was playing in concert. He was invited to her concert. He went, and his comments were, she played like an angel. And I love that story of all the coincidences that happened that are not coincidental. And you know, one of the things that I was hoping to get out of the book, Wendy, was that I think all of us have coincidences that happen to us like that. And I think I'd like to have people realize that some of those aren't coincidental. There's a reason for some of those things that happen to us, and that we sometimes are guided to do some good things in the world and to pursue our goals. And I think we're helped occasionally by those kinds of coincidences.
Well, and I think, you know, reading the book and the stories, they're very diverse. They're unique. Each doctor has a different perspective. You share several of yours as well. And it's just that when I'm looking, you know, Physicians Untold Stories, the author, Scott Kolbaba, I'm talking with Dr. Kolbaba right now. These are what people as patients really, really appreciate, knowing that the person who is your doctor has that empathy and that compassion, and then sometimes listens for that other guidance that magically appears. I'm thinking of the story of the doctor who was operating in the Philippines.
Yes, yes. And I was honestly surprised that the doctors would actually come out with these stories, because we don't talk about these things. The doctors don't talk about these miraculous experiences. And so I really had to drag it out of some of the doctors, and I'd say, you know, do you have any experiences? I'd love to share them with someone. And I think the reason that they came out with these is just because they wanted to do some good in the world. They wanted to let people know that there is something else out there, that you should have hope. And these are just ordinary docs. They have no reason to tell fantastic stories. And I was delighted that they did come up with them. The one about the fellow in the Philippines was interesting. You know, most of the doctors, I think most doctors in general, are what I call sappy do-gooders. They want to do some good in the world every day. They want to help someone. And this fellow that you mentioned, Dr. Hussey, is a gynecologist, and he would regularly go to the Philippines. They would pick the group that he belonged to would pick the poorest of the poor countries to send these team of doctors to. And it would be a team of surgeons and internists and anesthesiologists, and they would just spend a whole week doing nothing but intensive surgery. And sometimes these people that they operated on would never have a chance to have surgery ever. And they would have to, in many cases, literally die of their disease.
Dr. Kolbaba, hang on just a minute.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, okay? We have to do a quick break, and we're going to come back. But it's a good place to pick up, because this is a fantastic story. And if you're listening, the book, again, Physicians Untold Stories, just in time for Christmas or gift giving, any time of year, it's perfect, because you get a miracle every single one of these stories. PhysiciansUntoldStories.com is the website if you have a story to share, too. But in the next break, we'll continue with that and probably add a couple more stories as well, because it just makes you feel like there's so much more possible in the world, that we don't often get a chance to have a glimpse of. And these doctors had up close and personal encounters with some things that defy logic and are just definitely worth sharing and hearing more of. He's collecting more stories. So if you are a doctor and you have a story to share, check in with him. All right. More coming up with Dr. Kobaba on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio.
Oh, we get what we deserve.
Wendy's Coffee House, Talk Radio, KCMO. Thanks for tuning in. If you miss any of the show, you can always catch it on the podcast. You can actually, a lot of good stuff in the podcast library. And then I also do a little bit of a backup in terms of bio and contact information, website stuff at Wendy's Coffee House on the blogspot, wendyscoffeehouse.com. My guest is the author of Physicians Untold Stories, Dr. Scott Kobaba. And we were in the middle of a story about a doctor who was working in the Philippines and going, they were working with the poorest of the poor. So the chances that some of these people would ever see a doctor are pretty slim. But I had to interrupt you. I'm sorry. So please pick it up.
Okay. So he was doing surgeries, gynecologic surgeries. And some of these hospitals are really amazingly tiny and pretty ill-equipped. So he brought some of his surgical equipment with him that was obsolete at this time, and he was able to donate to the hospital. And he was operating in an 8-bed hospital way off in the boonies of the Philippines, and he was the only surgeon there this particular day and doing the surgeries. And there were some techs that were helping him. They weren't even scrub nurses. They were just techs. So it was pretty crude, and the electricity there is kind of irregular, so sometimes the lights would go out. And what would happen is that they would just bring the operating table over to the window, and he would use the light from the window to do the operating. And some of the results that they had were pretty spectacular, despite all those negatives. And he was operating on a lady that had a very large uterus, and they didn't know what the cause was because he didn't have an ultrasound or any equipment to diagnose it. And so he just had to explore and see what was going on. So when he opened her up, he found that she had a very large fibroid uterus, which is benign. It's just a tangle of muscle. And she looked like she was about 8 months pregnant with this huge uterus. And there was all kinds of scar tissue there, too, from a condition called endometriosis. So as he's operating, he's having difficulty moving things around because of all the scar tissue. And generally, when they do a surgery like this, they like to lift the uterus up and tie off the blood vessels that supply the uterus with blood. Well, he couldn't do that because of all the scar tissue. So he's operating, and all of a sudden he's realizing that she's starting to bleed quite a bit. And she's starting to bleed more and more and more. And he's cauterizing and trying to stop all the bleeding. Well, the blood bank, normally in the United States, you'd say, send to the blood bank for a couple units of blood. They had no blood bank in this hospital. The nearest blood bank was about 25 miles away, so they had no blood. So here he is with a woman that he's operating on who's starting to bleed to death, literally. And when that happens in the operating room, everyone becomes very quiet. You know, no one says anything, and no one makes eye contact because they know there's an impending disaster here, that this woman is bleeding to death.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to cauterize as many bleeding sites, and he can't get to them fast enough. And she's bleeding more and more, and he realizes he's in big trouble. He's in a strange place. There's no blood bank. He's got a woman that's bleeding to death, and he can't get to the blood vessels to tie him off. So he didn't know what to do, and he's a pretty religious individual, so he just closed his eyes for a second, and he said a prayer. He said, "Heavenly Father, this is your patient. You're the surgeon. Take over for me. I can't do any more." And he opened his eyes, and what he found then when he opened his eyes was something that was just incredibly spectacular. He was able to move the uterus. The bands of the scar tissue had seemingly melted away somewhat. He was able to move the uterus, tie off the blood vessels, stop the bleeding, finish the operation, and she lived. She survived. She was pretty pale from all the blood loss, mm-hmm. but she lived. And she was very grateful for his operation. A couple months later, he got a little note from her that said, "You know, thank you for saving my life, and thank you for helping me. I'm a different person because of your operation." And he was able to say a little prayer too, thanking his Heavenly Father for helping him through that operation and taking over when he couldn't do anything further.
Absolutely. And reading these stories, it is pretty phenomenal. There's a huge connection here with that faith, that, you know, that sense that, okay, I'm just going to be the instrument. And that was literally what he was doing.
Yes. And it's interesting, some of these doctors were pretty religious individuals, and some of the doctors were not religious at all. I took random stories, and the criteria that I used for admitting these stories into the book and for using them was if it made me cry with emotion, not sadness, but with emotion, mm-hmm. or gave me goosebumps, that was a story.
Yeah.
And so, again, the doctors all had some very interesting experience with a divine hand of some kind, and not all of them are religious or believe in. They all believe in something higher than them, but they many of them don't go to church, don't have an organized religion, and it's interesting that these kinds of things happen to all of us.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, this had to have been because you found 26 physicians, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Were there more that you couldn't include?
Yes, there were lots of doctors that had stories. But I wanted to include the ones that really moved me because I wanted people to realize that there are some incredible things that happen out there. There are so many other stories of minor little things that you wouldn't think this is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But the stories I wanted to include were the ones that made you think this is something incredible. This couldn't have been a coincidence.
I want to get a chance to hear your story as well, but there's one that's a Christmas Carol kind of story, which is phenomenal. And I don't know. Okay, if we could start with yours, and then in this next break, we'll start with yours and then end with that one because it's the season. It's that time when this one is such a perfect fit. And anyway, does that make sense?
Sure, absolutely. I've got a couple that I could tell. One's a bus fire my daughter was involved with, and the one's a lady that we saved in the hospital that had asthma. Do you remember? I'm happy to tell either of those. They're both in the book.
Go ahead. Yeah. Pick your favorite.
My favorite's the bus, I think the bus story. My daughter is involved with show choir, and she sings and dances at the same time, which is kind of hard to do. I'd be huffing and puffing. I wouldn't be able to sing if I think I was dancing. But this is a show choir, 52 girls, and they do a phenomenal job. And they travel around the local area in the Midwest singing and dancing, and they have competitions. And this one particular competition was in Onalaska, Wisconsin, which is just outside of La Crosse. And they take the bus there. They all have fun on the bus. And then we follow about an hour later and to get to the hotel that Friday night. Friday night it was. So they were on the bus and driving up to Onalaska, and what happened was that there was a flat tire in the back of the bus, and no one heard it except my daughter and some of her friends who were sitting in the very back of the bus, and they didn't think anything of it. It was a little bang, and that disappeared, and they didn't think much of it.
Okay, now we're going to stop right there at that little bang with the flat tire at the back of the bus. How's that?
Okay, that sounds good.
It's a cliffhanger. All right, and we'll come back and finish up with this story. The singing and dancing part's helpful, too. It's kind of festive. You're listening to Physicians Untold Stories, Scott Kolbaba, the doctor who collected a lot of really incredible stories from, like he said, just a general assortment of physicians. So it could even be that your doctor might be in the next story. Coming up next, Wendy's Coffeehouse, KCMO Talk Radio. KCMO Talk Radio, Wendy's Coffee House. Thanks for listening. My guest, Physicians Untold Stories author, Dr. Scott Kolbaba. And we had to stop in the middle of the road where the bus was having a flat tire and nobody knew except your daughter and her friends, right?
Right, right. So there are two buses that are traveling up to Onalaska for the competition, and the first one had the flat tire. My daughter was in it, and after a short time, evidently the friction from the tire that had been blown out caused a fire, and they started to see the bus behind started to see some smoke, and the bus pulled off, and the other bus pulled out, behind them. And all of a sudden, the flames started to shoot up the back of the bus, and the girls didn't realize this. And so the boys and girls in the second bus that was behind them started texting. This is one of the things that everyone does these days. And they were texting all the girls in the bus that there's a fire, get out, get out, get out. And so they started to rush out of the bus, and the only door that was available was the front door. And they're lining up, and then all of a sudden the bus started to fill with smoke, and the flames started to lick around the side of the bus. It's like a giant coffin on fire, and the flames are getting higher and higher. The girls were screaming; they could feel the heat of the flames underneath the bus, and they were all trying to push and get out. They were pretty orderly, though, interestingly, trying to get out. But my daughter was one of the last ones. And she said the smoke was so thick in the bus they couldn't see anything. They just had to feel the girl in front of them and just move in the direction of the exit.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, then as the flames licked through the front of the bus, something unusual happened, and that was as if a giant hand was moving over the bus. The flames died down, and it allowed every single girl to jump from the bus to her safety. When the last girl jumped from the bus, literally, there was a wall of flames, and you could hear the roar of the flames coming from the back of the bus through the front of the bus, and everything in the bus was destroyed. Everything, clothes, suitcases, everything except the girls. Every girl was unharmed totally.
Yeah.
It was an amazing experience.
Yeah, that's goosebumps.
And so they finally got another bus to pick them up, and by 2 a.m. in the morning, all the girls had come to the hotel, and we thought, this is a dead weekend. We're going to have to go back, and it's too bad we can't perform. Well, the crazy choir director said, our performance is at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's now 2 a.m. We're going to perform.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
We thought she was crazy because we had no costumes, no underclothes, nothing. Well, that's when things started. Strange things started to happen. The people that were left in our local town, Wheaton, knew the principal of the high school's girl was on the bus, and so they had access to the high school. We found some 26 costumes in the high school that they hadn't used for years, and brought those. And then the parent school that was sponsoring the event found 26 matching costumes that they hadn't used for a long time. So we had 52 costumes, surprisingly, that were almost identical, except one was purple and one was silver. A wonderful contrast with sequin costumes. No one had any shoes. So what happened was people would walk up to the room where we were getting ready, and they would drop off and their shoes. They'd say, use my shoes.
Mm.
And it was just, it was incredible, the kinds of things like that were happening.
Mm-hmm.
People were going to Walmart to get underclothes and duct tape and pins, and my wife was in charge of costuming. So she was busy duct taping and taking out seams and so forth.
Yeah.
When she was done, she was a ball of sweat because she was hurrying so much to get all this done. And one of the, interestingly, one of the women who was there helping out said, this must be what heaven's about. Well, so when everyone is pitching in, everyone's helping out, and they were ready by about 10:45. The concert was at 11, and the competition started at 11. So they had a practice inside the room, and some of the girls lost their tops because they were just duct taped.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife had to go around and re-duct tape some of the tops to make sure they didn't lose them. But they were able to go on at 11 o'clock, and they sang like angels. And one of the songs that they sang was, and this was not pre-planned, it was just happened that this song was one of the songs that we're singing was about girls living through a crisis and overcoming the crisis.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah.
There wasn't a dry eye in the whole place. And then when the awards came, they announced the third award at the end of the whole series. The third place, second place, first place. They didn't win the first place or mm-hmm. second place or third place, and they were resigned because they had come through all this that they weren't surprised they didn't win anything. Then, interestingly, they brought up a trophy onto the stage that was about 5 feet high, about as tall as my daughter was, and that was for the grand champion. And they won the grand championship.
Wow. That's really great to hear you tell the story. That's even better than reading it.
And then my daughter, who was literally saved on the bus because she was one of the last ones to jump off the bus, finished, and she was delighted, and I was delighted. And we were both in tears, and we just hugged each other because we didn't know what to say.
Absolutely. PhysiciansUntoldStories.com. We're going to have to wrap up. I'm going to leave this other story, Mary's Christmas Carol. If you're listening, this is one you want to read because for the season, it's absolutely perfect. She has a near-death experience, okay? And the near-death experience, she talks to her grandmother. And I'm just really going over it very quickly. But when she talks to her grandmother tells her something very important. And Mary also comes back to describe what happened during that. And the doctor's astounded. All right, we have to go. My guest has, is asking for, if you have stories, you're a doctor, you can share your stories. And they're also doing a TV series, getting that. They're doing some production work. I'm not going to mention any names. That's in the works. But I think this will be a fantastic show for people to follow. Physicians Untold Stories. Dr. Kolbaba, thank you.
Wendy, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Is there anything else anybody can add? I got a minute left.
The book's available through Amazon.com, and that's it.
Okay, and I'm sure the next book will be just as fantastic. But as Dr. Kubaba said, these stories are ones that give you goosebumps. They make your heart stop in some way, shape, or form. It makes you really, really thankful that we have the kind of doctors that we do, and they are willing to go to the nth degree to make sure that their patients are taken care of no matter what happens. And even when they're told, sorry, doc, this may not be the profession you want to be in.
That was funny, Wendy, when I got that advice, and it served me well because it was the most negative advice I'd ever gotten. It made me so incentivized I couldn't do anything but.
So there you go. See, so it's, sometimes it just turns everything around. Thank you for listening. And if you want to check out more, I'm going to put all of the links and the information on Wendy's Coffee House on the blog site so that you can follow along. And just this story with the Mary's Christmas Carol really will hit the spot. And if you have still a few people on your list or a few items yet to give, whether it's a birthday, a holiday, Christmas, whatever time of year, this is one to help inspire people to remember there are things we don't have answers for, and there is someone who may have your back. Whether that person is visible or invisible, you can count on it. It's there. Thanks for listening. Till next time, see ya, and stay curious. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio.